Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, he said good morning from Phoenix, Arizona, where it will hit 90 degrees today. Listen, Tom, be very grateful that you are the age that you are and you have the ability to be in Phoenix, because quite frankly, it's all I can think about right now.
How about that?
Do you know how many snowbirds are stuck up here right now? For whatever reason, not being able to get out of Canada into the warm locales.
November's like the worst month to be stuck here.
Yep.
At least by January, February, you're used to it.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
What? We're off to a horrible start. This mic just started falling. Yay! And why would you put the Arizona intro in? Do you know it's going to be 25 degrees and sunny there tomorrow?
I know.
I'm telling you, just as we were going to air, the mic just started falling.
Oh, no.
Paging Ryan Barocco. Paging Rocco. There's like a fire just went off in the control room back there. Oh, cool. Okay, so here's our thing. Just one second. Clark, Clark's just giving me the instructions in my ear. Can you believe this? It's a stage five gong show. Right out of the gate. Hang on. It's funny. Come on. It's funny. Let's send it off to Game Plus, since we're not on national television just yet.
Yeah, we want to put 2 hours of this on Game Plus, eh?
So hang on. So they said, listen, talk for a little bit, throw it to Darren, and Rocco will fix the mic, okay? Yeah. So it's good. I'm sitting here, I'm holding the mic, folks. Welcome to live broadcasting. So here's the deal. Coming up on the program today from Saga 960 in Mississauga, Ontario, the great Mike Richards. He'll be joining us to recap night one in the NHL. And in hour two, when we go to Game Plus Television, the great Rambo, Dave Randorf, the television voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, will be joining us from the Sunshine State. So that's what's coming up today. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump into the quick six show topics. I'll rattle off my quick night one NHL thoughts and then hand it over to you for yours. Okay, so can you hit it, please, Director Jordan? Thank you. Opening night, the National Hockey League. Here are your winners. Toronto, Vancouver, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, St. Louis all won last night. And my quick thoughts are for those, I just put them on Twitter and I was getting quite a bit of reaction at Rod Peterson. If you are upset from, you're a fan of one of those teams that lost, it's just one game. On the flip side, some lost real handily. And some of the coaches, I'm not going to name them, they might be from Saskatchewan, were saying no preseason game, short camp, blah, blah, blah. What we've learned in the NFL and NBA is what? Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So lock your stuff down. I know you've got some broadcast notes on that. We're going to get into the helmet stickers thing. Come on, stop bitching and complaining about the helmet stickers and what's coming, sweater ads and all the rest. So my main takeaway from last night, before we even get into the broadcast side of it, was from Strictly on the Ice. It was just one game. And I'm realizing that it's like all the American fans in the NFL that go nuts and they call it overreaction Monday after the NFL results.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's just early on in the season, it's just one game. On the flip side, nobody's giving the teams a pass. Yeah. Okay, you guys got to get your stuff figured out and fast. That includes the Oilers, the Avalanche, the Blackhawks, and the Penguins. Okay, Rocco, come on in. What's your night one takeaway?
You know what? It's funny. You say just one game. You know, I was going back and forth for the late game with an Oilers fan, Phil, who it was all, you know, and I get it. Like, it's not looking good for the Oilers right now. If they don't score goals and if McDavid and Draisaitl don't carry that team, they're in a little bit of trouble. But if they can get some sort of defense, goaltending can get together. You know what? It is a long year. It's just one game. But it doesn't look great to start. Vancouver looked very crisp, and I like that. Holtby looked pretty comfortable in goal. The most I watched most of the Toronto-Montreal game, or I watched the whole thing, but yeah, that's what I watched most of. And I just, man, was it fun. Lead changes, 4-4 into overtime, lots of chances.
Everything you want.
Big saves, everything you want. You know, there was that stuff all over the place. We saw Stamkos on in the Tampa game with an unbelievable one-timer on a great feed from Braden Point. Subban makes that behind-the-back stick save, which could be a save of the year on night one. I'm just so happy.
I got to just go from the comments, man. I'll bring him in now. Bring him in. James Dene says, I'm an Oilers fan. I honestly think all of the Canadian teams should be scared of the Canucks. Yeah, they looked amazing. But Besser had two last night. He looked great. Horvat looked tremendous. Who's the young kid?
Quinn Hughes, defenseman.
Nils Höglander.
Oh, Höglander.
Yeah, Höglander
looked really
good. They
always find a rookie, right?
I know. So, hey, it's just one night! But it was a tremendous opening night. And yes, the sky's falling in Edmonton. I find it a little funny. Dave Tippett, which did not look happy after the game.
No.
Right?
Well, and then McDavid, he's just, do I got to do everything? You saw towards the end of the game, he just rocked Quinn Hughes along the board with a big check. He had chances, but one of the first times, I think, ever he's been held off the score sheet on an opening night.
It is.
Yeah.
It was. Rachel Dom Tassoni writes in. She says, as an Oilers fan, I didn't like their intensity. It was a problem in the Chicago series. Look, if I may, just on the Oilers, and we're getting hung up on point one here, and that's totally fine because it was opening night in the National Hockey League. But I had an Edmonton media guy call me midway through the first period. I was watching the game with my wife, and I'm like, boom! I bolted downstairs to talk. We talked for half an hour, and in the middle of the conversation, he's like, ooh, the Oilers don't look very good. And it was a good chat, talking about all things business, media, so forth. And I hearken back to, I watched Edmonton play in Anaheim a few years ago. It was when Dallas Eakins was coaching the Oilers, and I'm like, I can't believe how bad they are. It was like a novice team, five guys following the puck into the corner. This is the National Hockey League, and they're playing like a novice team. That was that night in Anaheim. It wasn't much better last night. If you want to go back and watch the film, Dave Tippett's going to be pulling his hair out with guys that are left open, guys blowing the zone while the puck's still in the zone. Just forgetting details. Is there something in the walls in Edmonton? You know what I mean? Because the coaches keep changing and they continue to play like this. You can see why the Oilers fans are extremely upset at their team's 5-3 loss last night. And you know what? They've got a right to be upset. Because what did you learn in giving up leads in the Chicago series last year in the play-in round? What did you learn? I just feel that the Oilers fans are at a tipping point right now, and you can't blame them. And I will move on in a minute, but the gentleman wrote in about the Vancouver Canucks. Somebody had them number one in their top seven. Are we proclaiming you a winner after one night?
Overreaction Monday, you know, Thursday, but, you know, they look good. And Brock Besser's a guy who's got that high-end skill set and took maybe a step back last year, and it's one game, but, you know, he's got his shot back, looks to be a little bit re-energized, and that's a really good thing when you lose guys like Toffoli and your goaltender and stuff. But Holtby was comfortable, and they're off to a good start.
Look, okay, Trent in Norway's checking in where it is 5:08 p.m. Trent says, Norway calling, the Oilers need to be in a marathon, not a sprint, even if it's a 56-game schedule. This is not the time to be a hyper fan in a hyper media environment. Pace it out, relax, and focus on the details. They're going to be fine. Stay well, everyone. Trent, with all due respect, stick to playing the piano. It's a 56-game sprint, not an 82-game marathon. You need to be hammered down, balls to the wall, for 56 games. You can't take your foot off the gas in this environment. I'm sorry, you can't. So, Trent, I love you. But that's why you're in Norway playing the piano. If this is a sprint, hammered down. And the Oilers did not get off to a great start. This is the warm-up, by the way, for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Your home for the NFL. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. Chase Tippett writes in. That's Dave's nephew. And he says, Yamamoto going to take a major step. Defense and goaltending's a problem. Chase, of course you were watching that game like a coach. Dupes and I were talking about this in the pregame meeting here. Yamamoto! It might catch on.
I think it will.
It might catch on. I don't know the guy's name that was calling the game last night from the Pujami broadcast. An original Albertan, I understand. Yamamoto!
I love it.
It could catch on.
I think it will.
What is it? Hannah Ryan Singh.
There you go.
He might have the most. He's got the most iconic Oilers goal call of the year.
I like it. I like that call. That goal. You know, it took a second to get there, but when he realized it was Yamamoto that got the goal, he was right on it, and he had planned that one out. It fits, and he held the notes like perfectly.
I know. One more time, Yamamoto.
Do we got a? What about pulling the clip?
Yeah, we were talking about it. That's a lot. That's a lot of time on point one. You writing this stuff down?
Oh, yeah.
Point two, I'll make it real quick. 10 games tonight. I'm focused on three. Jets, Flames, my night will center around that. Vancouver, Edmonton, the rematch. How do the Oilers come out? And then, obviously, Anaheim, Vegas. Got to find a way to watch that game because those are my golden nights. Moving on to point three. Interesting with Pat McAfee. There's a lot of reaction to what he said, about what we said, about what he said. And it's 3downnation.com wrote an article on how Pat McAfee said the CFL was awesome, but it's dead. And I'm thinking, is anybody else going to stand up for the CFL right now? I don't understand. They're just taking body blows right now. And we talked a little bit yesterday about how Winter Congress would normally be going on right now. The GM and president meetings, of which I've attended in the past, they're awesome. Are they going on? We don't know. We know nothing about the CFL at all, other than these announcements that they're putting out every day. And what I have written here, do we deserve a plan from the CFL? Do we deserve something? Maybe we don't deserve anything. Maybe we'll continue to move on and talk about the NHL and the NFL divisional playoff games this weekend and whatever else is going on. I don't feel maybe that we deserve anything. Just that the silence is a problem. They clearly don't think so. How would you answer that question? Do we deserve a statement on the season or anything?
I know, right? Deserve? No, I'm of the belief that we really don't deserve anything, you know? But yeah, I think so. I think it would be out of good courtesy to have a statement, to give your fans some news, especially when there hasn't been any. The NFL's in full swing. You know, just a little knock on the door to say, yeah, I know you're enjoying the NFL, but we're still around. And we're still going to come back, and our plan is still to be here. But, you know, just like when teams, when news is broken by the insiders in the game, like yourself or Arash or Justin Dunk in football, or the Draggers and the McKenzies and those guys, the teams don't want to acknowledge it, right? Because they don't want to feel like they're chasing, or they're a step behind, or they're not taking care of their business. So they wait, and they make the announcement themselves and act like it's brand new, and they didn't hear what you said, or that you broke the news before. I think it's the same thing with the CFL. I don't think they want to sit here and make an announcement now and feel like they're acknowledging Pat McAfee or us or whatever and responding. Then they feel like they're coming at it from a disadvantage, right?
Yeah.
You always want to go into that meeting being like, hey, just so you know, I'm taking care of this and this and this and this. You don't want the boss to come in and be like, where is this? I haven't seen this thing and this thing. And then you're, you know, from a defensive position, be like, oh, I'm working on that. Oh, this is on track. And then you feel at a disadvantage. I think the league's in that position right now. They want to be coming from a position of strength. But I think you have to forget about all of that and just do what's right for the league and your fans.
Yep. I'm trying to work in everybody's comments as much as I can. Jamie Anstey's got a ton from Halifax. He says, look at Colorado. I think their goaltending will be an Achilles heel. They got spanked last night. What was it, 4-1, 5-1? Darnell from Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions says, we deserve something from the CFL other than emails from the writers saying the early bird deadline is a month away. Yeah, I don't know that we deserve anything at all. I would like to hear something. I would like to see somebody fight back against an American media personality that says your league's dead. Jeff Steven writes in, you know Wire?
Oh, yeah.
He says, great hoodie, Rod, from Ballers Rec Room. Oh, man, I'm moving on. We're going to maybe push some of these to later in the hour, okay? Because there's just too much to get to, my dude. Like, for one, helmet stickers and division names. We're going to face off on that. And a little later on, I saw people legitimately bitching about the helmet stickers last night. I saw the Leafs had Bell plastered across their helmet. That was the one that really stood out to me. Did the Habs have
that? Was
anything?
The Habs. The Habs had Bell.
One of them did.
The
okay.
Leafs had Scotia. Nets.
Okay.
Yeah, like... Do you want to get into this now?
No, we'll get into it later.
All right.
But the one was Lieutenant Eric that literally made me howl. You know, Lieutenant Eric.
Yeah, he's great.
From TSN 1260 Edmonton Radio. He would ride shotgun with Dustin Nielsen every day. He said, I can't concentrate on the game. These helmet stickers are too distracting. Did you see that? That was very funny.
That's funny.
But we will debate that a little later on. Stop complaining. And now I'm in a war with people this morning on Twitter. I said, you're allowed to watch these games for free because of corporate sponsorship. So quit your bitching. And then guys are coming back at me going, oh, center ice is free. Oh, cable TV is free. This is why I said to you in the morning meeting why I find Biznasty and McAfee so inspirational is that they can clap back at people and not worry about it. So as I just said to a guy, stop bitching about cable, paying for cable. Go live in a damn cave then for your $30 a month if that's what you need to pay. Come on. Nothing's free. Nothing's free. Okay, so you are watching the games for free vis-a-vis not paying to get into the building, not paying pay-per-view, which is something the CFL might have to do. Point is, if the corporations are going to underwrite the cost of this league playing and paying the salaries, stop bitching. What are you bitching about? Is it that big of a problem? Really? So do you? I don't know if you want to take on the other end of this.
No, I'm on that side.
You're on that side?
I think they've done it very tastefully. You know, yeah, the Flyers is a pretty big. The Bell one's pretty big. But look, it fits into the color scheme, the blue of Bell with the Montreal Canadiens. It fits. You know, the Leafs, Scotia is small. Scotia Bank, TD Bank on the Boston Bruins. They're all fairly tastefully done.
Yeah.
And it's smart, you know, because you know every kid that loves the game is going to be sitting there being like, well, I got to get a Scotia Bank sticker on my helmet because Austin Matthews does.
Of course.
Right? You know, what does McDavid have on his helmet? I want that on my helmet. So all of a sudden, these banks and these institutions should be having free sticker piles that size at the door for kids to come and pick up.
There you go. Michael Gregory is watching in New Orleans, says money talks and cow poo walks or something like that. He also refers to a free streaming site so you can watch the games. Oh, where's this free internet? Like, shove it.
Go watch the game at Starbucks.
I'm not even done yet. Yeah, I know. Go steal your neighbor's Wi-Fi, you jerk! Is Mike Richards ready yet? 0.6. I'm sorry you had to see that, Mike. NFL notes, which we'll cover a little later on, but the Jaguars have hired a new coach. It's Urban Meyer. I couldn't believe he's only 57 years old.
I know.
I heard this morning. So the Jags have a new coach. That is one of seven jobs off the board, six more to go in the National Football League. The Bears owner came out last night and defended the head coach and the GM there, and he's getting hell for that. They made the playoffs. Here's what I respect about Chicago. It's not enough to just make the playoffs.
No.
Right? If you're not a Super Bowl contender, off with your head from the fans.
Yeah.
The owner's a little less demanding. But anyways, they've got a lot of NFL notes to talk about going into divisional playoff weekend. Mike Richards next from Saga 960 Mississauga. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, YouTube Live now daily, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back, everybody. We're cooking with gas. And by the way, it is episode 400 today.
What?
Episode 400 of Canada's Daytime Sports Talk Show. And John Kirby in Edmonton has written in and says, from 3downnation.com, Halifax Regional Municipality decides to discontinue Atlantic Schooner Stadium project. We'll delve into that and more as we bring in our good friend Raw Mike Richards from Saga 960 Radio in Mississauga. Good morning, Mike. How you doing, my friend?
You know what? I'm not doing bad, but that's I was sort of saddened to hear that news about Halifax, even though, of course, I mean, in this, considering what's happened to the rest of the world, it's not surprising that those talks didn't continue. You know, as a CFL fan, we've been dreaming of that East Coast franchise for I don't know how many years. Schooner's a name that's always been thrown around, but I mean, how considering that half the population has either lost their way to make a living, either been thrown out of their house or given up their house or pushed out on the street, how can you talk about a municipal stadium? That's, even for me, that's a bit of a push. So how can this be surprising?
I know. A major, major rude awakening for the world of sports to realize that you're just not that important amid this pandemic. That's probably the biggest lesson I've learned in the last 10 months. DuPont's got his hand up, though. He's got something he wants to say.
Yeah, this isn't the first time we've seen it on the show, Mike. Is that Bobby Boucher on your shirt? We didn't acknowledge it last time, but is there a story behind that?
No, just like the short. I like the short. Very nice short, yeah.
Bobby you Boucher. Can do it! You can do it all night long. Mike, what was your takeaway from night one in the National Hockey League?
The goalies haven't had enough work. I don't know if that's a surprise to anybody, but it's it clearly, you know, when you take a look at what happened last night, of course, as we're the degenerate show that we have, we just decided to take every game on the over. Almost worked, except for one, except for St. Louis. That's why I didn't watch that game. But when I take a look at what happened, this game won't look, and the games won't look that similar, I wouldn't think, in a week's time. You got a Montreal Canadiens team who kind of blew it last night. If you asked me, I thought that was their win to have. Anderson, their newest picked up, he looked good. Suzuki looked good. Carey Price was probably average, if you want to put it that way. And he won't be average for long, and they won't make the kind of discipline mistakes that they did for long. I still think Montreal is going to be a tough out. They may not win the North. They may not technically have the most points when this thing is all wrapped up. It could be a team like Toronto who will love the track meet, who are going to love the 56 games and no pushing. Although, when Wayne Simmonds was fighting last night, didn't you get the feeling the rest of the city, all the Leaf fans, were going, what is he doing? What's that called? What, fighting? Is that allowed? It's very
not
aggressive.
Only, yeah, not only that, but he turns and goes, ah! And I'm like, who are you doing that to? There's nobody here.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're still getting used to that.
The people in the Platinum Lounge would have spilt their spritzers. Oh, good Lord. The man is parading around like some sort of warrior. This is no good. No, this is going to be very... I mean, hey, look, he did what he's supposed to do. He's a good, he's a good Scarborough kid, eh? Way to go, good kid from Scarborough there. Mixing up, that's what Toronto needs, eh? Because they don't have it nowhere else.
Okay, let's dive right into it. Let's just talk about the broadcast for a second, because off the top of the show, we talked about the actual hockey. And Darren, you can jump in if you want. It was like, where was Ron McLean? This is opening night. Do you want to just get your thoughts before we get Mike's?
Well, we talk about business people versus broadcast people running
networks.
The networks and stuff, you know, and I know Ron doesn't do every game, but I mean, from a broadcast perspective, it didn't have the special moment of opening night. You know, I was missing a few things last night.
Well, you know what? I mean, it did, but there's something that tells me that, you know, they're going to try a couple of different things because they have lost so much money in the last several years over that multi-billion dollar deal. And they're probably, and if I'm Rogers, I'm probably thinking the same way. These ratings for these games are going to be probably, at least in Canada, the highest ratings I think we've ever seen. I mean, come on, every game is Canada versus Canada, a Canadian team versus a Canadian team. It's going to seem like 56 playoff games. And even though Ottawa may not have right now the knockout power, the finish power to probably, you know, they may end up being the seventh team, but they're not going to be a lightweight, and they certainly won't be a lightweight for long. And generally, you're going to find in a lot of NHL cities like Toronto on a Monday night, on a Tuesday night, oh God, here comes New Jersey. Here comes, you know, they don't want to see Arizona. They don't even see teams like Colorado. It just dies. But you got Winnipeg, you got, you know, an Edmonton or a Calgary coming on a Thursday night. Yeah, we're all good with that. So I think Rogers is thinking, okay, just how good are we going to have it? And what else do we need? Or in this case, not need. Because I think there's a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, go further. Explain.
Well, no, I do too. Like thinking like, hey, look, we're going to have, you know, record audiences anyway. Why do I need to pour more money into having the fancy panel or having extra guys on staff? But I look at, you know, you could have the lineup for the Hobo Donuts down the street because it's Hobo Donuts. But if you don't give them the great product and make them feel something great, are they going to come back on Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night? They probably will this year. I think you're right, but.
Yeah, but they're going to weigh it. I mean, let's be honest. This is now sports broadcast in which in the last probably 18 months, that entire industry has been completely crushed, destroyed. They haven't come close to making their revenues. Certainly in hockey, that is true. And so if there is a way to figure out, without spending more money or cutting back and getting higher ratings, which means the bigger revenues and the sales guys can go out there and sell more, do I really want to go back to what's been going on for the last 30, 40 years, paying some big money? They're going to figure a way around it. If they can, I mean, if there's anything else we've learned about the industry, if they can get away with it, they will.
Exactly. And so I want to just switch gears for a second. Mike, you spent so many great years in Western Canada, but you're an original Eastern Canadian guy. I didn't have it in my quick six show topics, but it's a huge bonus point. The trade. The kids are talking about it. James Harden is a Brooklyn Net this morning. You know, like, it's not really creating a lot of ripples in Western Canada, but four teams were involved in the trade. The only name I know was James Harden, maybe a little bit Jared Allen, but what in the GTA? How's that going over in your audience?
Yeah, well, I would say basketball is the coast to coast, it's huge. Today's show, three of the guests were tied completely to basketball because in this country, that's kind of where it's at. That's why you see the CEBL all of a sudden starting to gain some power in a normal non-pandemic year. I'd be really curious to see where this thing goes, including maybe adding a team out east, because basketball, you don't need the big stadium. You don't need those big numbers. Basketball certainly carries some weight. As it pertains to, and this is kind of weird, the Nets and everybody's favorite, James Harden. he comes into a situation where It's Steve Nash's team. I mean, this is a dream for a lot of Canadian basketball guys that Steve Nash, who has the Canadian cape, would go down there, but he's got to pick the Nets. Okay, so that sucks right away. You got Kyrie Irving, who to me is just a slime ball. There he is, the vice president of the Players Association, and he's going to birthday parties where there's confetti in the floor, people have no masks. I don't know, was there an orgy? Were there shag rugs and guys with mustaches? What is he doing? The rest of the guys got to go out and play. He doesn't even tell his coach. Steve Nash has no idea where he is. No idea until he sees the video of him blowing out birthday candles. And I got to tell you, it is so different in mentality, because if I'm KD, if I'm sitting there trying to carry that team and I see my teammate who is not even told, he's supposed to be upset about the Capitol Hill takeover. Please. I think we'd be happy about that if that happened in Ottawa, by the way. I have to think it'd probably go the other way around. I might take the pitchfork myself. But
I was going to say, continue.
Yeah. I'd wear the guy with the bear hat on. Oh, I'd push Justin over. Oh, my God. You know how much fun that would be? Just rolling him in the mud, chanting his name.
Justin.
Sorry. but and to think that now you have another egomaniac on that Nets team. And by the way, the Nets, without Kyrie Irving, kept winning. And so you're going to have, as far as I know, still one basketball to play with during those games. We'll see if it works out. It's almost awful for Canadians if it does, and certainly here in Toronto, where there's no love for Brooklyn anyway, to think that there's Steve Nash, Captain Canada, you know, just squeaky clean, and he's got these – well, you know, I shouldn't say that. KD, I've always respected. I mean, great ball player, you know, I think is a warrior. Goes out there, gives it his all. We saw what happened to Golden State when he shouldn't have come back and did, because he wanted to be the good team guy. Really did cost him. But he has that in him, so I respect that. But Harden now going to the Nets. I mean, if they didn't come the most hated team in the East, certainly here in Toronto, I don't know who is. But and who's the coach? Steve Nash. It kind of sickens me a little bit, to be honest.
I'm sorry, I can't keep a straight face because things are running through my mind. One, the Nets team parties are going to be epic. Think about that for a second with Irving, right, and Harden. Two, Kyle Outridge is watching in Cambridge, Ontario, and says, roll them in the mud, you laughing, crying emoji. People got hung up on that mental image.
Yeah. If it happens, I'm in. Trust me, I'm in. Right. I am in.
Yeah. Todd Pinckney writes and says, that's where we love the audience participation here, Mike. Todd says,
yes.
Has Mike Richards ever been confused for the ex-NHLer of the same name, Mike Richards? I got to think it happens. Probably almost on a daily basis.
Well, I can tell you, neither would go to Dry Island. that I can tell you. When that came out, they said, can you believe that Mike Richards and Jeff Carter said that they're not going to the quote-unquote Dry Island? Yeah, comes with the name. No one named Mike Richards, including Michael Richards, would ever be going to a place called Dry Island.
Or Keith Richards. Yeah.
Or Keith Richards. Come on. Dry February. I can't believe they're trying to push that. Who came up with that, Justin? Dry February? Yeah, see you later. Bye.
I don't know. So have you been confused for him? Let's go back to the question.
Yes. What is the question? Have I been confused for him? No. No, I don't believe. I had him on the show on The Fan in Calgary really early on, but I don't think we've actually met face-to-face. A lot of the other guys, yes, but no, I've never been in this. Have someone say, geez, you look, are you Mike Richards? Yeah, and in the hockey playing one, no. No, no, that has not happened.
Jamie in Halifax. Yeah, Jamie in Halifax wants to know, how impatient is Toronto right now towards the Raptors and Leafs? It's a good question. Raptors off to, what are they, 2-8? And they're finally home tonight, or in Tampa. But the Leafs won. It's a conflicted sports town, yeah. Am I right?
Well, right now at the moment, I'd say no. I would say to Jamie who asked that question, which is there are some years where you think it's sort of fragmented. Right now, I think for Raptor fans, who are very good fans, by the way, they're very good fans. They understand the year. They see who's on the court. I'm sure they're frustrated. No one wants to see a team start the way that they did. But now as Raptor fans sort of look and go, okay, what pieces are going? What can we get back? How's it going to look next October? I really think they're there already. If they're not, it's slightly delusional to think that they're going to be in the run of the top three, four. They just don't have it this year. But when you win a world championship like that, and that's kind of what they call it, when you win a championship like that, it buys you a little bit of license. And because Masai is very well liked, Nick Nurse is very well liked, they realize Kyle's probably going to be gone. So they're kind of okay that this is going to be a year where they're going to spin their tires a little bit. But what can we make it beyond that? So that's the Raptor situation. But there will be incredible expectations this year for the Leafs. And this is going to be a year, because it's a sprint, it kind of favors a little bit the track meet teams, which is what they are. They don't play heavy on the puck. And for the teams that normally do, the 82 games, they can go up and basically molest the other teams for half the season. And if they have enough wheels and good hands, good goalie, they kind of get away with it, which is why I say those bigger frame teams are usually the ones that are favored. This is a very, very different year. I don't know how many of the 56 games they get to play, but if you're a Leaf fan, you're taking a look at last night, because they're going to be crazy games. There's no question they're not going to be 2-1 games. If the Leafs are going to win, it's going to be the 5-4s, the 6-5s, because I don't think Freddie Anderson's going to stand on his head. It's just probably his last year here in Toronto. If the Leafs were to win the North in this 56 regular game season, I'm not going to be shocked. But what I would say, and Dave Bastel, who's my on-air partner, and I agree with him, the team I think that becomes beyond that in the postseason that will be the tough out, I still think could be Montreal. To me, there's three teams that really are going to be tough. The Leafs, not in the term of toughness, but the terms of points, you're going to have the Calgary Flames, a very similar-looking team, and they just got a huge upgrade in goal. I think there's huge expectations. If you're a Flames fan, you're thinking this could be something. A Montreal Canadiens fan, even though they're a little gun-shy, I think they're very, very good. I guess, you know, you have to take a look at a team like Vancouver. So I think it's going to revolve a lot on Holtby, who looked pretty good last night. But to me, the goaltending still isn't where it's going to be. You got to give me a week or two when these guys actually get some shots, because they all, even in terms of their angles, they were just a little bit off last night, but they haven't seen the work. It wasn't surprising. This thing will get tighter as it goes along, but I think it will also get faster. So you have to ask yourself, what team has the wheels? Well, a team like Toronto would be, and so does Calgary. I think they're both quite in it.
Yeah, and you mentioned Vancouver. They looked good last night. Chris Bird in Toronto says Simmons and Sherratt put up a pretty lame scrap, but it was what the Buds needed to get the W. So I thought the fight was decent. Larry in Medicine Hat says, Mike. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What's that, Mike?
It isn't even so much about it being we want to see a great big knockout fight or whatever. I mean, again, it's also – he admitted. Simmons basically said we needed something. So it was like he might as well have been in a square dance. And he just wanted to see that, because guess what? No one on that Leaf team is going to do it. Nobody on that Leaf team is going to do it. As much as they talk about how they want to be a tougher team, a harder team to play. Marner? What, is he going to start spitting on people? What really do we expect to have happen? Is Matthews all of a sudden going to sit there and start throwing his weight around? He did a little bit, and then he kind of got hurt. So if they have to choose between him throwing his weight around and that, they'll say, just let Simmons do the whole thing. And then that's kind of, I think that's what's going to happen.
Team's been missing grit, and Wayne Simmons supplied it, and they won. So we can't complain too much. Look, the comments are going crazy. Larry in Medicine Hat says, Mike, just replace your earphones for horns. I think he's saying you're the devil. I'm not sure what he's saying there. But
the guy storming the Capitol, right?
Oh, storm the Capitol.
Got it.
I got horns here somewhere.
That whole situation completely confuses me. But before we break, Mike, and call it a day, you went in for your 200,000-mile checkup here a while back. You've come out better than ever, it would appear. So that's good to hear. You feeling good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm feeling good. There's going to be, there's going to be a lot of stuff happening in this world. And I think after we get through this plague, which hopefully at some point we will, I think for those who are willing to and have been throwing punches through this whole time, there's been a lot of people, whether you're a family that has a restaurant, whether, you have, there's so many of those kinds of places across the country, your great places, mom and pop places that went down. But for those who are able to fight and stay alive, there's going to be a little bit of a renaissance. And I also think in my particular industry, If you're willing to make a little sacrifice, take a little pain, there's going to be changes coming my way too, which I'm looking forward to. There's going to be some challenges, but I think hopefully within, 6 months, a lot of things are going to change. It's just, are you willing? And this is not just sports radio, not just the broadcast industry. If you're able to and willing, if you can fight a little bit and hang on, I think there could be a little bit of a renaissance on the other side, because that's who we are as people, and I know that's who we are as Canadians. God bless my Albertans and all those in the prairies who are really God's people. I hope they can hang on, because I know they're willing to fight. If anyone's going to fight, it's going to be the people in the West.
We're trying, and we're trying to do it together. Mike, thank you, sir. As always, outstanding. Stay safe and keep in touch.
Justin. Ha, 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 ha. Sorry.
Thanks, Mike. We'll be right back with the roll them in the mud. Give them the bumps. We'll be back with a sports update and viewer takeover. We're starting it early. It's the RP Show Game Plus Television live on YouTube daily, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rob.
Welcome back, everybody. What a day. It is a recap of night one in the National Hockey League as we plow our way to night two. 116 consecutive nights of NHL hockey. It's hard to believe.
Well,
that's just regular season, right? And then playoffs.
I know.
Brian Eitnauer says, I don't know if the fight had anything to do with the Leafs coming back. It had more to do with the Canadians taking three penalties in a row right after that. Whatever it is, the Leafs won.
Just said right after that. So that happened, and it led to them taking three penalties. They're clearly frustrated. Off their game.
From Brent Kuhlman, like I said last week, it's far too hard to pick my favorite guests that you guys have on your show because they're all great. Shout out to Clark for that. Absolutely. He is the number one guest booker in the country, and we were just talking in the break about a Hall of Fame potentially here. Like you, at some point, I know you want to do like a video of the entrance into the building, right, that we'll post to social media. We have what's called Legends Hall when you're coming up from downstairs. We've got some unbelievable artifacts in there, not the Leafs, which is a three-story high?
Yeah.
Winnipeg Jets banner from the side of Mosaic Stadium. We've got my 1,000-game plaque from the Dub. I've got the photo of Chris Jones presenting me with a game ball in honor of my dad. A lot of artifacts from Catlin Schneider, the Saskatchewan Rush. And you want to build a Hall of Fame as soon as you walk in. And then the questions become, how do we do a Hall of Fame? The fun part is talking about this stuff.
I know, right? We were bantering it around. How do we put our guests into the Hall of Fame? Is it, once you've made, like SNL, Clark mentioned, once you host so many times, so a guest makes his 10th appearance on the Rod Peterson Show and we raise his little banner to the rafters. Maybe it's every year we do a hall and we have a ceremony and we have, nominees and we induct one or two into the hall every year. That might be kind of neat, too.
So we'll talk about that. I do have a sports update coming up, but I just want to say this. With Mike Richards, the guy, I'd like to call him after the show and say, what are you talking about with a renaissance of where we're going in sports broadcasting? Because I have no idea what's going on. I live one day at a time, as my bracelet says. But for him to say, a capital insurrection in Canada might actually be welcomed, and he'd join the party, and they would grab the prime minister and roll him in the mud. Like, Trump's getting impeached for that. Right? So I'm just like, can you say that? I'm highly confused by this entire Trump impeachment, insurrection, Canadian government, pandemic. What can you say? What can you not? Because I subscribe to the Epoch Times because it is the anti-CNN. And believe me, I'm not going down the road of politics here. Other than to say, I'm reading the coverage that's saying Trump's going to show up with his friends on January the 6th with results to prove the election was fraudulent. And none of that happened. And his friends were a bunch of Neanderthals.
Yeah.
Right? And there was death and destruction. I'm like, this is what you were referring to? This is horrible.
Which one of you has the proof? Which one of you has the
proof? Where's the proof? They said he had enlisted retired CIA and FBI professionals to do forensic audits on the votes and stuff. None of that happened.
Did he get trampled? Which is the right guy?
I know. So somewhere along the line, where are you allowed to say that if it happened in Canada, the party would be bigger? I'm just not going to say it. I'll let Mike say it.
He knows the bulk of our audience is Western Canadians, maybe.
I guess. Nobody's going to go after him.
We're kind of the opposite, right? You know, we don't want our Liberal government. They do want one.
Rylan Betker, one of our Army friends watching, he says, welcome to modern politics where the rules are made up and the points don't matter. Trust me, I agree. And I think a little bit of the renaissance comes to guys like myself and Mike Richards and what the Spit and Chicklets guys are doing and McAfee, and that we can't be canceled because we own the show. And if you don't like it, don't watch. And our partners and sponsors support us. But obviously, I have my own road that's different than Mike Richards' road.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Because I'm not out here to tick anybody off.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Anyways, I got to get to the sports update here. Curling Canada is expanding the field for the Scotties Tournament of Hearts in Tim Hortons Briar. The usual 16-team field will have two extra wildcard teams when play begins next month in the so-called bubble at Calgary's Mark and McPhail Center. The play-in game was canceled, so there will be three wildcard teams in all, along with the defending champions and 14 provincial reps for each competition. The Federation says that several high-performance teams were denied the opportunity to qualify this season since several associations canceled their playdowns due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Morgan Riley scored in overtime as the Maple Leafs came from behind to beat the Montreal Canadiens 5-4 at Scotiabank Arena last night. Johnny Tavares set up Riley's winner in a 2-on-1 and finished with a goal and 3 points to help the Leafs erase a 3-1 and 4-3 deficit for the win. 1 second. Rob Vanstone writes that, and he says, I was alive during the Renaissance. Need a ceiling painted? I'm your guy. Thank you, RV, the king of self-deprecating humor. The Oilers and Canucks meet again tonight in Edmonton for the second game in two nights at Rogers Place. Brock Besser scored twice, including the winner, as Vancouver downed the Oilers 5-3 in the season opener for both teams. The Canucks won despite not having JT Miller in the lineup. They also didn't have Jordy Benn. They shouldn't have won last night. The Oilers laid a big old egg out there last night, and they're burning down Edmonton today, figuratively. Recent history has built heat for the first game of the NHL season for the Flames and Jets. They'll have plenty of chances to turn it up even more tonight. Calgary eliminated Winnipeg in last summer's play-in round to advance to the first round of the playoffs. The two teams will meet 9 times in this pandemic-shortened season, including 2 stretches of 3 games in 4 days. The struggling Raptors host the Charlotte Hornets tonight at their temporary home in Tampa, Florida, following a 1-3 road trip that has them sitting second last in the NBA standings. Toronto has just 2 wins in its first 10 games to begin the season and will play its next 5 at Amalie Arena. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com and follow their social media for their daily specials. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Donald Mitchell writes in, he's watching from Manama today. Any idea where that is?
No.
I don't have any idea. I'm sure it's warmer than here. He says the renaissance is the non-suits guys have a platform now. Oh, the renaissance in our business. Because we're the non-suits guys and we have a platform and we got squeezed out of the mainstream media. And here we are over here in our own space doing our thing with success. I see what he's saying. I see what
he's saying. I can get behind that.
We're going to take a break, I see. We got to take a break. We'll see if the cell phone's charged enough. We get so many messages on that darn Prairie Mobile text phone.
Melting.
That it melts. It melts. So we'll get it off the charger and do viewer takeover from the viewers when we come back. You're watching the RP Show, Facebook Live, live daily on YouTube, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Viewer Takeover. Do me a favor, please. If you're enjoying the show, go down to the bottom of your screen. If you haven't yet, just click share to all your Facebook friends and tell the world about the RP Show, your favorite show. Don Mitchell writes in. He says, the reason why NHL fans are annoyed at the helmet advertising is that it goes to show that the CFL is a leader at extra revenue sources. I'm missing a little bit of his point on that. Maybe you can help me out. Mick Panko says, regarding the fight last night with Wayne Simmons, he says, no matter what you want to call it, it turned the tide of the game. Who would have thought Wayne Simmons is the linchpin the Leafs need to win a Stanley Cup? It might be.
Yeah.
Prairie Mobile text line. Ken in Saskatoon writes in, congratulations on 400 shows. You, Darren, and the crew have shown the doubters. Keep it rolling. Here's the thing about the doubters and the naysayers. I hear that a lot from people. People were laughing at you. People didn't think you'd make it. I don't hear them. I heard long ago there's a reason why racehorses have blinders on. You don't see over here. I never did hear them. And the little ones that I did hear just motivated me. And you.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie in Halifax. Hey, RP. Jamie here from Offside Hockey Talk. A sad day in Halifax for CFL fans. COVID has dampened many businesses here in Halifax, and with the uncertainty of the CFL, let's just hope the Sask province has sports to attend soon. Don Cherry and Ron McLean should have RP Hall of Fame exemption. Who tops these two gents? Let the fans vote when it comes time to the induction process. Have a great day and stay well. Thank you, Jamie in Halifax. I appreciate it. I like the fact that maybe we come down to, I think we have a panel here. People submit their nominations, and then we put it to a fan vote because this is the viewer's show, and they decide who goes into the Hall of Fame.
Well, we'll do it just like the Baseball Hall of Fame or the NHL. We'll do writers' ballots. We'll all have a ballot, and the fans will have a ballot. And they'll get as much say in the Hall of Fame as you do, as I do, as Clark does, as Jordan does. It'll be great.
Don Mitchell says the CFL gets called Bush because of advertising on their uniforms. Now the NHL can be called Bush as well. LOL. I was thinking about this. There's always going to be people bashing the CFL. There's always going to be people sticking up for the CFL. If you go to Three Down Nation, you see people ripping Three Down saying that they're crapping on the CFL. And it's like, you guys don't get it. Justin wants the CFL to be successful, just like I want the CFL to be successful. Here's the thing. The NHL is playing. The CFL is not. So, you know what I mean? I love that Don's always got the CFL's back. But as one CFL stakeholder wrote me this morning, it's becoming very difficult to defend the CFL. But I'm going to go back to the text messages here. We'll carry this over into next hour. From Taylor Soulier, great job, Rod. Mike and Taylor are proud of you. Let's go, Oilers! That's from the Soulier family. There are more from Jim Wagner and Bob in Grand Prairie. We'll carry those over next hour because we are out of time for hour one. Hope you enjoyed Mike Richards here. Dave Randorf joining us next hour. We're going to Tampa. Rambo, I can't wait.
That's great.
Where are we at for time, guys? Yeah, okay, cool. Joe Lozito says, does Frenzy get his own wing in the RP Show Hall of Fame? He absolutely does. I guess we're talking about that next hour.
Yeah, we are.
Stick around. We're going to Game Plus, everybody. Or stick with us here on YouTube and Facebook. Be right back for hour two. And I said, fire truck!
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.